telling the gospel message. These are the notes from the slide presentation in the PowerPoint. The gospel. This is a word that means good news. Of course, many people of all ages we meet have never heard the news, or don't think it's good, or don't think it's news for them. In this session, we're looking at what the gospel actually is and at how we communicate it well in different settings, whether it's a talk or giving a sermon or a conversation when there's an opportunity to give reason for the hope that we have, 1 Peter 3:15. So that's the content or the what of the gospel. Secondly, we want to look at the communication of the gospel, how we get it across. Thirdly, we're going to look at the context we're in and the ways we might need to adapt the way we talk in different settings, indoors, outdoors, in a public meeting, one-on-one, in a care home. That's the where. Now, slide two, we've got a picture of an open Bible. We'd like you to do some work on this one. Would you turn to page 25 of the training workbook? Now, get in pairs and work out what you think are the key points in the gospel. So, what must be included in a faithful gospel presentation? What are the essential points? Of course, there are many things you could include, but what I want to work out is the essential, the main core issues, as opposed to what might be true, might be useful, but not key. So you've got 10 minutes for this exercise. 10 minutes. Note, the point of this exercise and the subsequent feedback is not to go to endless theological argument. It's to make us more effective on mission. There may be some who'd love such a debate to continue, so let's resist them with grace. The main points you probably want to bring out are these. They can, of course, be expressed in many different ways. Number one, God created us to know his love for us and to respond to it. Genesis 1 verse 27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Mark 12:30-31 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. Point number two is, we as unholy people are separated from a holy God. If we read Isaiah 59 verse 2, it says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And again in Romans 3 verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Point number three is that God has reached out to us offering forgiveness and reconciliation through the death of his son Jesus on the cross. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And 1 Peter 3 verse 18 says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Point number four is Jesus rose again, proving his identity as Son of God and power to save. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14 says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But so many people bore witness to the fact that Christ had been raised. Point number five, we have a choice to respond in repentance by receiving Christ and the Holy Spirit, or not. John 1 verse 12 says, yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And Revelation 3 verse 20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So we now move on to the communication on slide 3. If you think of any of the great speakers in history, and on the screen we've got pictures of Billy Graham, Winston Churchill, Barack Obama, why has their communication been so powerful? It's not only because of what they said, but even more importantly, how they said it. The how actually plays a far greater role in getting someone's listening ear than what they say. Jesus once said, the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. And that's in John 12:49. So he too knew the importance of the how when it comes to communication. So back in your pairs, can you think together of any evangelistic talks or sermons you've heard that had an impact on you? And jot down the reasons, apart from the content, as to why you think they were so powerful. What happened in how they were put across? To give them a moment to do that. There are many good points that could be made, but there may be these in particular. Number one is conviction. So to be convincing, you have to be convinced. Every effective speaker shows by their manner that they themselves are utterly persuaded by the truth of what they're saying. Number two, authenticity. It's no good trying to put on an act to be someone you're not. As Polonius said to Hamlet, above all things, to thine own self be true. Be yourself. No one is better qualified. Number three, tone and pace of voice. It helps if your voice is not a distraction to the message, and that the pace of what you're saying isn't so fast that you're gabbling, incomprehensible, or so slow that you send them to sleep. Number four, gestures. Get someone to give you feedback if you have a mannerism or way of speaking that is unhelpful. Quite often we don't realize that the way we speak or act while we're doing so is actually getting in the way of what we're saying. We see some people, I've noticed one or two people sort of sway around on their feet like a wobbling, spinning top while they talk. Or they're looking around the room at the walls but can't actually look at the congregation or can't look at who they're talking to. Eye contact is so important. Okay, let's move on to the where on the next slide, the context, where we might be sharing. On mission, we could be in many different places, in the open air, on the doorstep, in a pub, so where a quiz might be taking place, might be in a care home, residential home, you might be in a school, in a church, all sorts of places. And while the gospel remains the same, it's the same story, different places mean we need to be ready to adapt our communication to the actual setting. So again, in pairs, can you discuss for 5 minutes what factors you need to take into account according to where you are? So give them 5 minutes. And here are some points that might be brought out. Number one, audibility. To state the obvious, you need to be heard to get a hearing. In a pub or in the open air or with the hard of hearing, you may need to talk more loudly. Certainly in a church, talk to the person in the back seat. Number two, legality. As we'll be thinking about in a later session today, you can teach, but you can't evangelize in a school. Number three, sensitivity. As we were thinking about in the session on pub work, there's a difference between a conversation and a sermon slot. So be aware of what's going on. Number four, simplicity. The gospel isn't complicated. Wherever we are, it's good to be simple, in the best sense of that word, not simpletons. Amongst other things, it means use language that people can understand. So if you're in a pub, it's what I might call barstool English. Talk the language of your listener. In the training manuals are some gospel outlines and also helpful outlines about preparing a gospel message. If you have a look on page 28, 29, 30, 31 and 32, you've got some ideas and useful material there. Let's move on to the next slide. Slide number five, getting the what, the how and the where right. Getting them